In this edition of Curious Juno, we answer a question about one of the capital city's most imposing landmarks, Mount Juno. I'm Matt Miller. Listener Chris Murray writes, "What in the world is that billboard-looking structure on top of Mount Juno that can be seen from all over downtown and Douglas?" Well, it certainly looks like a billboard or perhaps a drive-in movie theater screen. If you look through binoculars, you can see what appears to be a large metal frame subdivided into four smaller panels and tilted slightly downward. The assembly is held up by what appears to be a metal support framework. We checked in with the City and Borough of Juno, and their cartographer, Quinn Tracy, says the structure is probably 25 feet wide by 16 feet high. That's based on a light detection and ranging, or LIDAR, survey done in 2013. After checking CBJ property maps, we discovered that the panel sits on an L-shaped parcel at an elevation of 3,012 feet. The owner is listed as AT&T in New Jersey. We tracked down somebody with AT&T Alaskom, and they told us that it was used as a passive repeater for microwave communication signals. Alaskom used to beam telephone and video signals from their downtown office about 1.4 miles up to the panel. The signals were reflected nearly 14 miles to a satellite uplink station at Lena Point. Our source at AT&T Alaskom did not want to be identified or quoted because he didn't have permission to speak for the company, and no one at their Anchorage offices got back to us. So we turned to Gray Hartick, an electrical engineering consultant based out of Portland, Oregon, who also worked on the White Alice communication system in Hoonah during the Cold War. He explained that telephone lines were impractical over long distances with no roads. High-frequency radio had limited capacity, and only one call could be made at a time.
In the late 50s, mid to late 50s, AT&T developed microwave systems, which operated at a much higher frequency. That system probably operated in the 2 gigahertz region.
Microwaves could carry multiple telephone channels at once, but there was one big drawback.
At 2 gigahertz, the radio waves don't go around corners very well. If you run into dirt, they stop. So they had to figure out a way to get a signal from one place to another place when there was no way you could see them, see one end to the other.
Hartig wasn't sure when the reflector was installed on Mount Juno, but this is how it worked.
If you imagined that the reflector was a mirror, you know, nice and shiny and optically wonderful, if you stood at one end of the microwave path and somebody else stood at the other end of the microwave path and got out your binoculars, you should be able to see each other. That's how these things worked. It worked effectively optically, even though it was microwave frequencies.
The microwave signal from downtown Juno would be sent up and then bent back down to the receiver at Lena Point. Hartig says microwave communications later gave way to satellites in the 1970s and then fiber optic cable. The reflector was probably last used in the 1990s, even though AT&T Alaskom still holds a license for it. Coincidentally, the old AT&T Alaskom Public Telegraph office in downtown Juneau is now the KTOO building. And another coincidence, it was only after we wrapped up our chat with Gray Hartig that we discovered he works as a consultant for several public radio stations in Alaska, including KTOO. I'm Matt Miller. That's it for this edition of Curious Juno. Tune in next time for another segment on the mysteries of the capital city. To see previous stories or to submit your own questions, go to our website at ktoo.org/Curious Juno, or just click on the Curious Juno banner on the right-hand side of our homepage.